Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. And we have this special announcement that on Sunday, August 30th, which is next Sunday, after the 10 a.m. Mass, there will be a pastoral Q&A in the hall at 11:15 a.m. Attendance will be limited to Group B, and you'll have to look be on the vestibule bulletin board for Group B, and that is because of the COVID-19 restrictions. We will continue to maintain the state regulations for masks, etc. To accommodate this, next Sunday, the masses will be only at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. because of the Q&A at 11:15 a.m. So there will not be a 7 o'clock Mass, and the 8:30 Mass is changed to 8 a.m. So only two Masses next week. And so the Mass schedule for next Sunday is the following. At the 8 o'clock Mass, that will be for Group A, and the 10 o'clock Mass will be for Group B. I think this is Group C that you're in, so that's the end of it. I mean, at least for next week. Please check the vestibule bulletin board so you will know which group you are in and for more details. Basically, Group B, you'll see your name there. It's all the people who signed up on the sheet we put out last week to come to the Q&A, and all those people that you may have signed up but contacted us. So you're on there. And basically, Group A is going to be what was known in the parishes as the children's mass. Usually that was at 9 o'clock in the morning, and that was where all the children of the parochial school were required to attend. So we're moving in that direction, I guess. So just to repeat, next week it's a change. There are only two masses, 8 and 10 o'clock. You have to look on the vestibule to see what group you're in. Basically, the adults are in Group B, and everyone under 18 is in Group A. And then after that 10 o'clock Mass, there is the Q&A in the hall for 11:15 for everybody in Group B, who are the parents that go in. Yesterday we had a great event. Brother Michael received the habit of Servants of the Holy Family at the clothing ceremony yesterday. And we invite everyone to feel free to extend your prayers and good wishes to him as he begins this important time in his religious life and towards the priesthood. You might not recognize him now because he wears the habit, but he's up here. And it's a very moving ceremony because in the midst of the prayers, we're hearing what the habit is. So if you have a chance to hear the sermon when it is posted, you will learn something. And the feast for this week, today is the feast of St. Philip Benizi. Tomorrow is the Apostle St. Bartholomew. Tuesday is the King of France, St. Louis IX. Wednesday is St. Zephyrinus, the Pope. Thursday is St. Joseph Calaxantius. We cannot speak about all these saints, but I'll just tell you that saint, St. Joseph Calaxantius, how many people have known, heard of him? But he's buried in Rome, and his body is underneath the altar in a glass sarcophagus. You can see him. And his body isn't corrupt, but there are little... When the saints exude some kind of liquid, they call it manna. And so he has something protruding on his skin that you can see. They say it's an oily type substance. I'm thinking of, if you know, Saint Charbel Maklouf, Lebanese Maronite saint. When they opened his tomb, he was floating in a casket of this oil-like substance. That's St. Joseph Kalaxantzios. Friday is the great St. Augustine. We have his statue back here. There are too many superlatives. And then Saturday is the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. The 2021 liturgical calendars are for sale in the vestibule, and please place your donation in the offering box in the opposite wall of the bulletin board. You probably know where that is now. And just one other thing, to remember in your prayers, it's somewhat interesting to see the sky in the last few days because of this haze from the fires. And it's kind of a orange glow. But I can smell it, the smoke. So that's pretty serious. We've had our scare a few years ago where we had to start evacuations. So pray for these people. I'm not sure what else this year can bring. That's why this QA is going to be good. This pastoral Q&A. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, such is the assurance I have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He also it is who has made us fit ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministration of death, which was engraved in letters upon stones, was inaugurated in such glory that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses on account of the transient glory that shone upon it, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be still more glorious? For if there is glory in the ministration that condemned, much more does the ministration that justifies abound in glory. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 10, verses 23 to 37. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and they have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and they have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer got up to test him, saying, 'Master, what must I do to gain eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How dost thou read?' He answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole strength and with thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. Do this, and thou shalt live.' But he, wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in with robbers, who after both stripping him and beating him went their way, leaving him half dead. But as it happened, a certain priest was going down the same way, and when he saw him, he passed by. And likewise a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And setting him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more thou spendest, I, on my way back, will repay thee.' Which of these 3, in thy opinion, proved himself neighbor to him who fell upon the robbers?" And he said, "He who took pity on him." And Jesus said to him, go and do thou also in like manner. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In preparing, we were thinking of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but then we forgot to put that in the notes. But God has his ways. So as we were putting on the vestment, who is looking up at us but the Blessed Mother, our Mother of Perpetual Help? So, disregarding the notes, we start with that. Yesterday, of course, was the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and this month is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart. There is a litany that of the Immaculate Heart composed by Cardinal Newman. You can access it on the website even. And we cannot, this sermon is not about that, but it's just a reminder that this is critical to your life as a Catholic, to be close to the Blessed Mother. We say we have these 30 days dedicated to the Blessed Mother from August 15th to September 15th. The other constant reminders, we keep out this blue carpet during this time to remind us, despite the different masses being said, that we are in the month of the Blessed Mother, if you want. It's not May or October, but it's these 30 days, her special days. And starting with the assumption, looking at the one Marian feast that has its own vigil, that's the assumption, and the gospel that we hear repeated throughout the Saturday masses for the Blessed Mother, we even hear it in Lent, we hear it again on the vigil. It's one of the shortest gospels of the year. Shorter would be the holy name, circumcision. But this one's like two lines. And if you recall it, not giving the whole text, but it just says, our Lord answered this woman who cried out to him, praising his mother. And he says to the woman in the crowd, yes, that's right. Blessed is she as my, we say, natural biological mother. And he says, but what's more important for you to remember is that she heard the word of God and she kept it. And we just want to emphasize that for everyone, because that is the secret of holiness. To hear the word of God, and of course, we all know the word of God is in the gospel and everything, but the word of God is our Lord. So the Blessed Mother heard the word of God at the Annunciation through the angel and kept it. Kept him in her heart, in her body for those 9 months, in her heart. She so kept the word that then when she had, because what is the word? The word is the perfect expression of the Father, the Trinitarian life. So the Blessed Mother, by keeping the word, participates in a completely unique way in the hypostatic order and the Trinitarian life, so that whenever she speaks, it's almost as the Father. Her words are the words of God, the expression of the Son, her Son. And St. Bernardine of Siena concentrates on that in yesterday's readings. And he says, of course, the Blessed Mother is not God, and so she cannot express the word in one thought as the Father. So she had to speak more, but he makes it certain for us, St. Bernardine said, there are only 7 words of the Blessed Mother recorded in the New Testament. She spoke infrequently, and so her words are like gold to study and to understand, to learn how we should take in the word and make it our expression. And we have these 30 days to do it. We could talk more, but we have to go on just to encourage everyone to be very close to the Blessed Mother. Now, this Sunday, another Sunday here in Pentecost, we are being Holy Mother of the Church. The Holy Ghost, through Holy Mother of the Church, is pounding into us. Now, today, of course, we're hearing in the Gospel the importance of following the great commandments. There are two of them. Love God with everything we have, and love our neighbor. And all the authors teach us that the love that we show to our neighbor, if we do it all, that is a measurement of how much we love God. So we might protest how much we love God, but if we don't have any love for our neighbor, then we don't really love God. Because every neighbor, even our worst enemy, is potentially our best friend. And we have so many examples of it. We have St. Augustine this week. We have St. Mary Magdalene. We have St. Paul. Well, St. Paul's, he literally was killing Christians. So no matter who in your life is an enemy or someone you don't like or whatever, those are the ones you should be praying for first. Who are we copying? We're copying our Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we'll return to that, but we also want to emphasize this other great lesson throughout the whole season of Pentecost. And it's being pounded in. We encourage everyone, as we've done so many times, do not let a day go by that you haven't picked up your missal and read the Mass text for that day. If you're able to come to Mass, that's even better. But even if you can't, you should read the texts for the Masses of the day. We as Catholics understand the law of incarnation, which comes down to us through this other law called the law of prayer, is the law of belief. So what is the law of incarnation? That is that the invisible, infinite creator, God, makes himself accessible to us through his sacred human nature. So that anyone who touches the finger of Christ is touching God. We cannot touch our Lord as they did 2,000 years ago, but we can because he has left that human nature in the sacraments and sacramentals. So when we touch one of the sacraments, as we will do today in Holy Communion, which this is the greatest of the sacraments because this is where we actually do receive the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. But all the sacraments give us contact with his sacred human nature. That is the law of incarnation. That is expressed to us in the liturgy where we, official prayer of the church, speaking through Christ himself in his human nature. If you notice I hesitate when I stop, is because I am, as I'm saying words, there are sermons there. So we have to skip sermons, stay on this sermon. And so through the liturgy, the way that we worship, the way that we pray, God is constantly teaching us the things we believe. And this, the thing that we have to concentrate on in the Pentecost season, because this is a time of sanctification. Everything that we've gone through, we now must put into practice, as this lawyer was told, do this and you shall live. So by the end of the year, we should be saints, ready to go back to heaven. And the key thing that we have to learn to do right is we have to learn how to pray. And it's built into our DNA. Because we are made in the image and likeness of God. And the Catechism tells us that that image and likeness is primarily in the soul. Obviously, because God is spirit, and our soul is a spirit connected to matter in our body. And what is it in our soul that makes us so much like God? What are the two processions? What are the two things that go on in the Trinity? We have three persons in one God. But the Father, as we spoke about a moment ago, he begets the Son. That's the first procession. The Father, thinking of himself, it is contained in one thought, one word, one logos, one Son. That is called the begetting. Then there's a second procession where the Father and the Son, the Father now and the Son, loving each other. That love is so powerful. The breath of love, the sigh of love, the breathing forth of love between the Father and the Son is its own person, the Holy Spirit. And that breathing forth we take from the Greek word, it's spirating. So we have begetting and spirating. This is somewhat deep, but you've heard it before when we talked about the Blessed Trinity. That life goes on in the Trinity and in anyone in the state of grace. Those functions of knowing how the Father knows the Son and loving in the person of the Holy Spirit, that's the power you have in your soul with your intellect and will. With your intellect, you know things, and with your will, you choose those things you love. That is God's putting into your DNA. DNA doesn't touch the soul, but we say spiritual DNA. It's right in us to be living this life of prayer. And of course, in state of grace, it's something that it's elevated. It's now we don't pray as in the natural state, which never was willed for us. We don't pray that way, just thinking of God as our Creator. With grace, we think of God and love Him as our Father. Not as the Creator, but as our Father. That's what the prayer, our Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say these words, Creator. Our Lord didn't say that. He said, Our Father. Now, this is all review, really. What's happening in this Mass today? Look at the texts of the Mass. Every single text is pounding that home, starting with the introit, which is the way the divine office begins. All the parts of the divine office begin. Deus in adiutorium meum intende. O God, make haste to help me. So right at the beginning of the Mass, we're being told how to pray. God, help us, and quickly. And it's going on right in the collect, talking about helping us to run to fulfill the promises. What are the promises? Getting to heaven. We want to run without any obstacle. So every time we're running and the hurdle gets in our way, temptations or trials, whatever, we easily jump over it. We can run the hurdles and 60 seconds. That's what we're praying for. And then our Lord said in the gospel, pray 7 times a day for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He didn't say that. He said, pray always. That's why I created you. That's what you're going to do in heaven. Pray always. Learn to do it. And so in the gradually, hallelujah, it's telling us, God, we pray night and day. We pray always. That's what's in there. You read it. The offertory talking about Moses praying in the face of his people going wayward. And he's praying, Lord, spare your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God's anger was appeased by that prayer. And the rest of the prayers of the Mass, which we want, just inviting you to look at, because we want to do say something about this. Because praying then will give us, because the way that we pray is the way that we believe, and that's going to have consequences in the way we act. So now we look at the action. What's that going to do? It's going to produce in us this prayer, this union with God, is going to result in, as it does in the Trinity, this great love among the persons. And those who live the Trinitarian life because they have the sanctifying grace in their soul, those people are going to do the same thing. And it comes out, as the gospel says, by loving God and then loving neighbor. And as a side note, but it's still here, we don't want to concentrate on it because we're emphasizing that we have to learn how to pray during this season and put it into action by loving God. And oh, it doesn't say, again, our Lord does not, he's not softening the punch for us. He's not saying, love God when you say your morning prayers and night prayers. Love God when you say the grace before meals or when you say your rosary. He doesn't say that. He says, love God with everything you have. And your neighbor as yourself. Now, just as a little note, because we tend to have this happen to us, so don't let it happen to you. We start thinking, as St. Paul warns us and says, do not. Yes, there is a law, obviously. And the law is meant to be a roadmap to show us how to get to heaven. So it's been given to us to help us. It's not an obstacle, it's a help. But St. Paul tells us, don't become followers of the letter. Always follow the Spirit. Because he says, he's talking about the letter of the law. The letter, what does it do? It kills. The Spirit gives life. And you know where we see it? Right in the gospel. So this is a subsidiary point we're just making. Main points. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to love God and neighbor. But a subsidiary thing as a practical thing in our daily lives, don't be fooled by the letter which kills. And we see it happening in this poor lawyer. Now, he's a lawyer. They stand out from the crowd. They look important. And so he thinks he's got a great question. Now, the reason why he thinks he has a great question, because what were those lawyers debating all the time? They were always debating the different laws that they had and ranking them. And so he goes ahead to our Lord and says, you, Rabbi, tell us what you think. This lawyer is talking about 613 laws. If we were just to ask, how many laws are there of God? I think everyone would say, oh, there are 10 commandments. Where did they come up with 613? And another place in the gospel, our Lord criticizes them for this. He says, you know what my law is, honor thy father and thy mother. But you have made your own laws so that you can say, my wealth is dedicated to God as korban. I can't touch that. That's now God's. So poor mom and dad, I can't touch that. That's God's, and I can't give you any money. I can't take care of you now that you're not able to work. And our Lord said, that's hypocrisy. All you're doing is making something up so you don't have to use your wealth to help your parents or your family. So he criticized these 613 laws that they had, because he gave 10. So this lawyer is saying, tell us, which one is the great? Well, then our Lord just cuts right through, which, by the way, you can use our Lord's pedagogy yourself if you ever had a chance or it's ever happened to you. If you're talking to one of these people who's spewing out whatever that's not Catholic, but they're supposedly teaching it, oh, I have a question. You're explaining this doctrine of the faith, supposedly. I have a question about that. Okay, what's your question? Yeah, I heard everything you said. I was just wondering, what does the church say about that? What does the church say about what the Mass is? Oh, the church says that the Mass is the unbloody sacrifice of the cross. You'll be surprised. You can even get a modernist to tell you what the doctrine is. But you have to ask them the right way. You don't say, oh, what is the Mass? And then you hear what they're going to tell you. Say, what does the church teach that the Mass is? And you'll hear them give you the true faith. This is interesting. So this is what our Lord did. This man's coming from, tell me which one of the 613 you think is best. And then he says, tell me, our Lord says, what does the church say? But our Lord said, how is it written? How is it written in the scripture, my written word for you? How was it written? Tell me how it reads. And the man did it perfectly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And then our Lord says, very simply, you have said correctly, that's the answer. Do that and you'll be fine. Well, this man was completely embarrassed. There was no like big long discussion. There was nothing touching on these 613 laws. And so it says to justify himself, okay, who is my neighbor then? And then our Lord tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which is this great, in all the Catholic hospitals called Good Samaritan Hospital and everything. So, and the order of the Good Samaritans, that's St. John Eudes. We just had his feast day. That's a very unusual order and beautiful order. So everyone loves the Good Samaritan. And the scripture scholars tell us, just so you'll know what our Lord's saying in addition to everything else he's saying that I just explained there, he's also telling us, I am the Good Samaritan, our Lord's saying. I am the Good Samaritan, because I'm the one despised by the priests, despised by the Levites, despised by the Pharisees. I am the one, because that's what the Samaritans were. They were hated. They were enemies of the Jews. And he says, but the priest walked by the man who was injured. By the way, the man injured, that represents us. And who are the robbers? That's the devil. We're trying to get to heaven. We're on the road, and he ambushes us every chance he gets, and we're left for dead. And so these people who are supposed to help us, the priests, the Levites, they just walk right by. It does say the Levite actually walks over just to see what's that pile of junk there. Oh, it's a man. Oh, okay, I keep going. And then it says, but no, I have come, this Good Samaritan, I have come, the one who's despised and hated, and I have come to help, and I've taken you up, I've healed you, I've given you oil and wine to take care of your wounds. I put you on my own beast of burden, that is my own human nature. I carried you on the cross, and I brought you to these innkeepers, I brought you to this house, and I brought you to this innkeeper, these priests. I gave them the money to take care of you. I gave you this treasury of the faith. I've given you all these sacraments to help you. And he said, and to the innkeeper, if you spend yourself beyond what I've given you, don't worry. When I come back at the second coming, I will make all things right. Okay? Now that's a great pledge. That's a great promise to encourage us that this all is for a reason. And your prayers and then your actions of love of God and neighbor, those are going to be your beginning, the life of heaven, even now. Even now. So when we transition from this life through death to heaven, it's not going to be a shock. We're already living that life. And heaven will be an easy step for us to take. So at this Mass, that's what you want to do. God, help me do this. Teach me to pray. Teach me to love you and my neighbor. I'm not going to be fooled by the little devil's tricks and give me all these different crazy laws to follow. I just have to love you. And of course, not forgetting during these days, the Blessed Mother, the greatest example of taking in the Word of God and keeping it. May God bless you.